Welcome to my channel and welcome to this week's episode of the podcast, the Mindful Mediums Podcast. For those who are new here, my name is Samantha. I'm an evidential spirit medium, intuitive development mentor, and a paranormal investigator. This is a very exciting episode of my podcast because number one, I generally don't record them and put them on this platform, but I think that's going to change, especially when I have guests who are joining. And this week, I am so excited to share with you my interview with two really incredible guests, Jade and Mandy from Ghost Club Paranormal. And that is a YouTube channel you can find right here on this platform. And we recently got together and did some amazing investigations, and it was a wild collaboration. So I figured, what better way to debrief than to have them on my podcast so we could sit down and really digest what we have all just experienced together, and also just talk about the paranormal in general. So I'm really excited to have them here, and I'm really excited to share this conversation with you. Know that if at any point you are kind of confused about what we're talking about, we're going to be referencing several investigations that they've done in the past, and then the most recent two investigations, which is the investigation we did together at the Queen Mary and also the Witch's Tower here in San Diego. So if you're feeling a little lost or you want to check out those episodes, I'm going to link them all in the description below, and make sure that you like and subscribe to their channel. More time, we're going to jump right into this interview and this conversation because we go around and we talk about just about everything. So stay tuned and thanks for being here. And yeah, hope you enjoy the conversation. All right. Welcome back to the newest episode of the Mindful Mediums podcast. I am so excited for this week's episode because I have two incredible ladies here with me tonight. And I feel very honored and lucky that I have had the opportunity to actually investigate with these two incredible humans. And I'm so excited to have them here as guests on the podcast. So I'd like to introduce and welcome Miss Jade Capasso and Miss Mandy Sue, who are also known as Ghost Club Paranormal. And they have a very successful YouTube channel and they have been doing investigations together for quite some time. So I'm really excited to have you guys here to discuss all things paranormal, your experiences, how you got into this. And of course, kind of chat a little bit about our experiences that we've recently had together. It's always nice to kind of have a debrief. So welcome.
Yes, I know. It's funny because we've not seen each other since last weekend, like us three. But like at the same time, I've been editing the episode all week. So I feel like I've spent the entire week with you guys.
Yeah.
But it's been good company. Oh my God.
we're all it's like you're like, oh wow, I haven't seen you in a minute. Actually, like literally, it's been a minute.
Literally, yeah.
So you know, I'd like to give you both an opportunity to kind of introduce yourselves. I guess we'll start with you, Jade, because you know, Ghost Club was really your sort of labor of love, your baby for a long time. So tell us a little about yourself.
So yeah, with Ghost Club, I only started it fairly recently. Started about 4 years ago when the pandemic hit and all that. That's when I had the time to do this kind of thing. I've been wanting to do it for a really long time, as I've been so interested in the paranormal for a very long time. It kind of all comes from one experience that I had when I was about 7 years old. When I actually saw a full-bodied apparition of a woman who was floating, and she talked to me, and it was something. And there were other people there as well who witnessed, you know, my reaction of, they didn't see the apparition, but it was like right after that moment, you know, and that's when I learned what a ghost was. And it's just, yeah, it's just kind of been something that just sparked something in me. And I've just been wanting to know all about the paranormal. I'm originally from Scotland. I moved to California in 2012. And yeah, Ghost Club has kind of been like collectively like my baby. And I love collaborating with other people and meeting new people and learning new things. But it was missing a little bit something. And when me and Mandy met, it was just like instant connection. Our investigations were off the charts. And I'm just so glad that, you know, Mandy was able to hop on board and be part of this chaotic journey with me.
I was like, please take me.
You know how it is, Samantha. I mean, you've been on a few investigations.
Yeah.
You know how it is. It can be a lot.
It can be a lot, but it's a lot in a very good way. It's a lot in a very curious way. And I love it as well. So, and then, so Mandy, you are also an evidential medium as well.
Yes.
And so how did you kind of fall into the investigation world with the paranormal?
Yeah. I, of course, like growing up as a medium, I had experiences my whole life. But in regards to paranormal investigating, I was pretty much like everybody else. Like I watched all the ghost shows, you know, Paranormal Files and Paranormal State, Ghost Adventures, like all of that. And I remember, I think at one point realizing like, I think I can do this myself. You know, I think I can actually go out and like be like these people. So, you know, I started buying equipment and my dad was the one that really helped me purchase that equipment. Cause I, you know, I was much younger and I couldn't afford half the shit that I have. And we started investigating together, me and my dad. And then I slowly, you know, started to branch off and start doing my own thing. I joined a couple teams here and there, but nothing really quite felt right. And it wasn't until I worked with you, unintentionally worked with you one time, that, you know, it just kind of, I don't know, just kind of sealed the deal, you know? But yeah.
So what was that one time that the two of you got to meet and you just realized like, this clicks? Like what was that investigation, or how did that kind of come about?
Well, we briefly met each other at the paranormal convention, but a couple years ago.
Yes, yeah, about 2 years ago.
Yeah, we briefly met each other. That was kind of like our initial. Actually, it's kind of funny. Mandy interviewed me on a podcast, and we totally forgot all about that until recently. And we rewatched it, and we're like, "That was the first time that we met each other." Like, but yeah, so it was the paranormal convention, and then about 6 months later or something like that, that's when we ended up doing like a proper investigation together, which was the Mackie Mansion in Virginia City. And like to this day, I mean, that's an investigation that like we'll never forget. And I can't even describe how amazing that investigation was. And it's on YouTube as well, mm-hmm. on Ghost Call Paranormal, and so you can watch it yourself. But it was just,
it was like so divinely guided, because I wasn't even supposed to go. I was kind of like, a friend of a friend invited me to go because other people couldn't go. And, you know, I just happened to be there and was available. And, you know, I barely knew you. I mean, yeah. I met you, like I said, like once or twice before, but I was like, sure, I'll go on an 8-hour drive with you and we're going to go do this investigation. Like,
yeah. Because Mandy drove to my house first, and it was like, we really don't know each other, but we're about to take like an 8-hour trip into Virginia City. I was kind of just like, I don't want this to be like awkward or anything, but we talked the entire way there, and the energy there was just amazing. It wasn't like a super dark investigation or that. It was just amazing paranormal activity. On top of just like messages from our loved ones, and just like a true like bonding moment. And it really resonates with me, because I feel like on certain investigations, when there's a big moment that happens, it does instantly bond you with the people that you're there with, because everybody's experiencing the same thing together and all trying to figure it out together.
Yeah.
So I think that's where that like first initial true bond like formed. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because I remember like calling my mom, because I had been with a group prior for about a year prior to working with Jade, and, you know, and no, like that was a really great experience for me to work with them and see kind of how that went. But I remember leaving that trip with you, and I was talking to my mom on the phone, and I was like, that is how an investigation's supposed to feel. Like that's how it should have felt this whole time. Like I was like, I left there feeling good. I had fun. Like I came home energized, which normally was the opposite. So after that, I was like, okay, I want to keep doing more as much more as I can with her, you know?
So I'm glad we were able to make that happen.
I'm glad to.
Yeah, you guys really do make a really great team together. And I think that it really goes to show like the importance of the people that you're working with and the energy around those people and that sort of charisma, I guess you could say, or that chemistry that really is necessary, I think, to work within the framework of the paranormal or any doing anything where you're working with the spirit world, even in mediumship, you know, having a, the right energy, the right group of people, the right balances. You have to have those good conditions. And I find that when that happens, you're gonna have great experiences all around. And your guys' investigations together have really, really shown that the importance of that bond being there. And I think it's really cool for people to watch. So if you haven't checked out their channel, now is the time you need to go check out their episodes, all their investigations, because I'm telling you, it's just really engaging and entertaining to watch. And I will say that, you know, there's a lot of paranormal junk on the internet. You know, you can scroll through the paranormal sides of social media, and a lot of things are very questionable. But after, you know, myself having worked with the two of you and worked with Jade before in the past, like Jade is very, very authentic, and she brings integrity into the work that she does, and she holds this work in very, very high regard. And I feel like that is lacking on so many levels from a lot of what I see with other investigative groups. And I think there's a lot of sensationalizing. And that's the one thing I really love about you is that there's a very grounded quality to your approach with the paranormal, both of you. And I think that that's really important.
Well, yeah, you know, it's been a weird journey because there's, you know, you weird journey with YouTube, should I say. I don't know. I just kind of feel like we have like 50,000 subscribers, and it sounds like it's a lot, and it is a lot. It is a lot, but over the span of 4 years, it's like actually not that much, you know, when you break it down like that. And I think that that just goes to show as well that like we're doing this for us, and
Yeah.
it's not about money, or it's not about, you know, how many views it's getting and things like that. It definitely helps when an episode does well, don't get me wrong, but it's like I don't think I would ever be able to put it down. And you know this, because sometimes like I'll message you and be like, oh, I don't know, I'm like, is Ghost Club over? And Ghost Club, first off, would never be over. We'd always figure out to do something with it. Or, you know, when I die, I've said to Mandy, like, you take over Ghost Club, like, here's my password, and you can form your own group and keep it going. But yeah, it's just that, it's just the passion for it and things like that. I mean, I think that that shows, and I think that, you know, that's why we do have such, we call them like the club, that's like our members and the people who subscribe and join the channel and things. And it's a really, really good group of people, and we never really get too much bad feedback or anything like that, but we're always open to feedback as well, so.
Yeah, I think that that's the other thing too, is being open to skepticism and criticism and you know, things of that nature, because that does come up a lot in this work, even as a medium. You know, I'm hit every day with people who are
Oh,
not going
yeah.
to believe what in what we do in communicating with the spirit world. And I've resigned myself to the fact that I'm not out here to prove anything or to change anybody's mind, but maybe to just make people think a little bit about, oh, what if, you know? And I think that's a lot of what the paranormal is too, when you're putting your work out there, is you're not out to necessarily, like, you're out there out of a place of curiosity and a place of wanting to get some sort of answers. And I think that when you can approach that through an integrity, you know, with integrity, that's always going to be the most important thing. Because so many people, I think, just aren't, and sensationalizing things gets a lot of views. And I think that, you know, when you go the way of like, I'm really doing this for myself and I'm doing this for my own, you know, personal reasons, like, because we all know that we each of us has something personal that's brought us into working with spirit, into working with the paranormal. We all had personal experiences. So I know, Jade, you told us a little bit about your experiences as a young child with the apparition. And I'm really curious about Mandy. When was your first inclination that you kind of realized that you had this sort of innate ability?
Yeah, I'm so
When I was really young, I had two near-death experiences, and I was actually just talking about this the other day. The second near-death experience that I had, I remember the incident happening, and I remember being alone when it happened, but I do remember somebody else in the room with me, but there was nobody else in the room with me. Like, it was almost like, I don't know if a guardian angel had stepped in to, help save me, but after that moment, that's when things really started to like hit the fan. Like, it was all very clairaudient for me. So I was hearing voices. I was hearing people talking to me, and it was so terrifying because I'd be laying in bed trying to sleep, and there would just be voices talking to me, but I couldn't see anybody. The only thing that I could see was this very like dark shadow man who would just stand in the corner of the room. And he wouldn't talk to me, but there would be all these other voices. And then it slowly developed. And so, for probably the first 6 years of my life, I was just clairaudient, with the exception of that man. And then it wasn't until I got just a little bit older that I had an incident where I saw my great grandmother in full flesh. And that was like my first real encounter with seeing like a spirit that looked like a human was just standing there. And then after that, it was like all the senses started kicking in, so I was seeing things all the time. I was hearing things all the time. I was feeling things. I started going into trance at a very young age, which was really scary. So yeah, I would say that's kind of where it all started. And then just, took off from there, which was terrifying. But now I'm appreciative of it.
I have a question. Now I'm like
Yeah.
interviewing you, like
Yes.
question. Okay. And this goes to you as well, Samantha. I don't know if you've actually like seen a full-bodied apparition that's not in your mind's eye, if that makes sense. Like it is, I mean, like, yeah. But what would you do if you saw something like that, exactly like what you know now? In that moment, you go back into that house. You open the door and there's your grandmother standing there. Like, what do you think you would do?
I wouldn't, well, when that happened, I ran. Like, I
Yeah.
saw, like,
Right.
I took off. So I think now going back, I really would want to understand, because I speculate all the time why my great grandmother showed herself to me like that. And I remember after that being like, that was too much. Like, if I'm
Right.
gonna see spirit, it needs to be a little bit more third eye based, not so much like in the physical flesh, because I was like, that is just so hard to process. But I would want to go back and be like, hey, like, why is that why you're showing yourself to me? Are you opening up my abilities? Like, I would want to actually sit there and have a conversation with her. I wish
Right,
I could have handled that so much better, but I didn't.
yeah,
I just took off running,
yeah.
screaming.
For me, like when I saw the woman, I was frozen in fear for like the first few seconds, and then she was at the bottom of the stairs, and as I was standing at the top of the stairs, and as she started to float towards me, like she started coming towards me. That's when she got about halfway up, and then a was able to like get myself out of there, and I just ran, you know. So yes, yeah, it's an interesting question because like I don't
Yeah.
necessarily know if I would want to see that again,
Oh, interesting. Okay.
but it
Yeah.
is kind of what I base
Well,
all of this off of, so it's
yeah.
like
Yeah, right? It's one of the, it's like kind of like the thing that you're sort of always kind of, it's kind of like the carrot, right? That you're always sort of chasing after is that experience of evidential, like the apparition, seeing that again with your full, like objective clairvoyance, which is so incredibly rare. And I know that it takes spirit so much energy to manifest in such a way. And I think that, you pose such a great question. And I get like for you, Jade, where it was like you have a woman, but you don't really know who that woman is. Whereas like with Mandy, she knew it was her great grandmother.
Oh, Mandy didn't know it was her
Oh yeah,
great grandmother.
I
Oh,
didn't
you
know.
didn't
That's a
know.
plot twist. I did not know it's my great grandmother until my mom, who's not a sensitive at all and has no abilities. I told her immediately who I'd seen, and she was just like, oh, hold on one second. And she just like went and got this picture of this woman and was like, is this what you saw? And I was like, yeah, why do you have a picture of this like crazy lady who's in our house? And she's like, oh, that's your great grandmother. And I was like, what? Like, wait, I have a great grandmother? You know, I was just like, you know, so little. I didn't understand. So I did not know who she was. She was
So
scary.
you have even more questions though, because now you're like, oh, grandma, I'm like, sorry for
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
it's like, my bad.
begs a question too for Jade. Like, who was that woman? Was that woman someone connected to Jade, you know, in some way that you just didn't know? And like, I know for myself, the encounters I've had with full-bodied apparitions were very few and far between. And the first one as a child was very terrifying. Like, it was Christmas
Wow.
Eve and they were standing in my doorway and they were just waving to me, and it was a man. And I literally freaked out and pulled the covers over my head. And I did not sleep that Christmas Eve. I was not excited about Christmas morning. I was waiting for the sun to come up. Whereas, like, normally I'd be like, oh, it's like 5 a.m. and the presents are downstairs. I'm gonna get up.
Right.
It was like, no, we're waiting till the sun comes up to like come out. So,
You sure it wasn't Santa?
You know what I thought? I had tried to I tried to really tell myself it was, but like at that time I was also in that place of like I had just learned that like Santa Claus wasn't. I hope there's no children listening. If there is, I had learned the truth,
Are you sure it
about
wasn't
the.
Krampus?
Well, that's the other thing,
Right.
right? Now it's like I have all these questions about, how these things manifest and how, with regards to the ways in which they're able to manifest and how some of that can be manifested by the living and so on. It's just really fascinating to me. The more I find that I dive in, the more I want to know. The more you think you know, I feel like you guys probably can agree to this, that like the more you end up doing this type of work, you end up with a lot more questions than you do answers a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Always, which
Yeah.
is like so frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, and it's for me, like, and I was just telling Mandy this, like, because again, I was editing all day today and I'm just going, oh man, like, there's just so much that I wish that I could add in that wasn't filmed, that was just a conversation on the site that was filmed, like, that we'd done the day after and stuff like that. And, it's just like very frustrating because I'm like, it's so hard to relate every single thing unless you were there yourself and experienced it,
Yeah.
you know. But yeah, it's still, still get a lot in, but yeah, it's definitely, like, I think everybody should experience at some point a full-bodied apparition. I mean, I just wish that I could give everybody that.
Yeah.
Even if it scares them, because then that's the proof right there. That is the proof. You cannot, unless you think you're hallucinating, that could be the only other logical explanation. I guess I've never hallucinated before, so I don't know what that's like.
You know, I think seeing an apparition or a spirit objectively like that, like outside of your third eye, is I can tell you literally off the top of my head every single experience I've ever had because they're so profound. You know, seeing a person in the flesh that's not there is one of the most profound experiences you can have,
Yeah, and
literally.
that will stick with you forever. You're never ever going to forget that image of the person, that, like, the story. I can tell my ghost story like word for word
Yep,
every
exactly.
single time. So consistent.
Yeah, and it really is. It's a really beautiful experience to have. I think for spirit to be able to show themselves to us in that way, I think it's a real gift, to be honest. It's very much a gift in that way to have that encounter. Because I also think too, and I was just recently, I mean, many of the people out there know recently the whole Sam and Kobe saga that went on at the Conjuring House with the Cody and Satori method. And I know recently Project Fear came out with their video, really interviewing Cody and Satori and asking some hard questions. And I do think Satori did bring up a really good point about how even if you show someone like so much proof, like there's going to be people out there that no burden of proof will ever be enough to either change their mind or to make them think differently. But if there ever was an experience they could have, for some people it might be too much. Maybe they're not ready for that, or but I truly believe that spirit would give those experiences to those who are ready. I think the spirit world knows a lot more than we do what we need versus like what we think we need. You know what I
Yeah, whether
mean?
you feel ready or not, spirit knows when you are. So
Yeah.
yeah,
very true.
100%.
Yeah.
You speak to being thrust into something, you know, especially like mediumship, because I know that I feel like every evidential medium I've ever really met, and let's just say Jade, you are a medium. Like there's no two ways around it. You have that sensitivity, and but we all do to some degree, right? It just more comes more naturally to some than others. And I think that for those of us who have those encounters, very often we're kind of, like you said, they're put in front of us for a reason. They're given to us for a reason, and it's what we do with it that really, really counts. And so, yeah.
I think because Samantha, you probably know more than Mandy does, because I mean, we've been friends for years, and every single time I would have a question or a thought or something like that, I would always go to you about it. But what's been really nice is like having Mandy around. I feel like they really are starting to gravitate towards her. And I know that sounds really bad, but like my house is like now quiet. And then when Mandy comes around, like something will happen. Like last time you were over, right, you were on your way over, and like a little like figurine, like a little horse figurine, just completely like jumped out of the plant pot that it was in. And I like looked over at the kitchen, and then my two cats were accounted for and my dog. And then when you were here, the closet door opened by itself in my house. And like I usually don't get activity here. And that was like two pretty big things that happened. So
I
yeah.
watched her closet door open by itself, and I was like, Jade, your
Wow.
closet door just opened. Like,
And you
oh.
want to know something that's really weird though, is I turned on the spirit talker, and the first thing that came through was Nana, which like
Oh.
was really, really weird. Like, because my Nana passed away a couple years ago, like I have her ashes by the front door because I think it brings in like good energy, like when you walk through the front door,
She's the
and
gatekeeper. No one's messing with Nana.
literally. So that was kind of strange, but again, I don't know. It could have just been saying Nana. We you know, I just thoughts on the spirit talker in general. Like, I do believe in the spirit talker, and that
Yeah.
seems to be very controversial. And that's it's kind of just like I can't apologize for that. I've done my own research into it and came to my own conclusion, and maybe one day that opinion will change, but for just now, like I've had enough experiences with the spirit talker app that I can say, like, obviously, not every single thing is a spirit coming through and talking, but there's just been a few moments where it's just like really, really on point, too spooky on point.
Yeah, I think that people forget that like the spirit talker is literally the same as an obelisk, right?
They all have built-in
They
apps.
all it's all built in. And although I will say the obelisk obviously works more off of, EMF and environmental changes and, but even with the obelisk, you're getting very random things, especially if you move it, it changes the energy, it'll start spitting out words, but spirit can manipulate it to put things that are relevant. It's the same thing with the spirit talker. Again, there's just been so many experiences that we've had with it that there's no way that it's not being manipulated.
Also, I don't know if you guys have like really looked into this or that, but sometimes I love like the spooky stories about people getting voice messages or getting calls from certain people, like when somebody's just passed away, and it's like
Yeah.
then they've called them afterwards from their phone, but how could
Yep.
that be kind of thing? There's a lot going on with our phones. It's not just apps. I had one when my dad's dad passed away, and there was a voice message left by him. I also had another woman who reached out to me, and her dad passed away. He took his own life, and the next day she didn't even know that he was like gone. And the next day she got a voice message from him, and it just says, "I love you. I love you. I'm sorry. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm sorry. I love you." And it sounds like it's coming through a digital recorder. And she was like, "What?" So she tries to call him back, and she's like, "What's going on here?" Anyway, she sent me that voice message, and I was like, "Oh
I
my."
remember.
You
shared that with me. I think that was one of the first things you reached out to me to ask me about, because you were like, I don't know what to do with this. And this was a couple years ago. And I remember listening to that, and I just like, I'll never forget the sound of that. And
know. It was
I've
amazing.
seen it. I've seen it too, like in readings and stuff, a lot of the times where I've had clients share with me that they'll receive text messages from their loved one's phone that are really kind of just random, but they're just like, there was one client, I'll never forget it. They showed it to me, and it was just a text message that came through like a day or two after their loved one had passed, and it just said, "Love you, love 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 you," over and over and over and over and over again from their phone. And it just, and so this is why, like, yeah, apps, I think some of them, maybe I think there is, why limit the spirit world to not be, to not a phone, like, right? Like, you know,
Well,
why limit
if
them?
you think about it too, like our phones give off so much energy of these. This is probably the easiest thing for a spirit to manipulate is a phone because of how much energy it has built in and is giving off. So, why wouldn't they?
And that kind of brings us to kind of talking a little bit about, sort of this idea of loved ones kind of coming in on investigations. 'Cause I know for Jade, that wasn't something that really happened a whole lot until recently.
Club, like the prison, like our family members and the Mackey family, please come forward. Do we have any family here with us?
There's somebody right in front of me.
If there's somebody in front of Mandy, you can make your presence known by talking through the box that she's holding in her hand, or you can go over to the black box in front of her. There's a green light on it, and you can light that up. Just so we know that there is somebody legitimately here that's trying to make communication with us right now.
Your Nana. I'm with you.
Nana, are you with me? Are you
I
protect?
made it.
You did make it. Welcome to the Mackey Mansion, Nana.
And I do think that that's sometimes like, why wouldn't our loved ones take the opportunity if we have all this equipment and we're like actively have the awareness that we're looking for communication? Why wouldn't they take the time to step forward and be with us? Get those opportunities in when they can. Someone brought up, they said, what if the people, what if those like EVPs that you hear where they're like, get out, isn't actually like a spirit telling you to get out, but it's actually like your loved one telling like the other spirits to go away because they want to talk to you.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Didn't we had that at my the Belvada in the basement. Remember there was a voice that came through and it almost reminded me of my grandma like yelling at something. Like it was weird. It was like a voice that came through on the recorder and we were trying to make it out and I was like it felt like my grandma on the recorder like yelling at this thing or and like very much present and a part of the investigation, trying to help out,
And even in the very, very beginning when we started that investigation, your papa came through.
Yeah. And my remember my phone, my snap, like when I went to go do a Snapchat, the I love you, and it was my picture of my Nana was just like coming up in my
Oh,
head.
that's right. That's a really good example to use about the whole phone thing.
Yeah.
What was it?
So I went to go open Snapchat and I was going to just take like a video of us, and I wanted a filter on us, but I hadn't even selected anything. And as soon as I opened it went to a filter with like love hearts, and it was like these love hearts saying "I love you," and it was a picture of my Nana floating
In the
in the
heart.
hearts. Mind you, I have like over 11,000 photos on my
Like,
phone.
why that one?
Why
Why
that
picture of
one?
my Nana? It was we were just like, wait, hold on, what? And that whole investigation had been family members coming through, and which made sense. It was such a dark investigation, but it just goes to show what they can do.
But and that was a really dark investigation, and they definitely came through on that one. But we also have like this other theory that there's been a couple of times when both of our grandparents have came through really, really strong,
Yeah.
like really strong, and we're like, are they teaming up together? And it's just sometimes we wonder, like, are they just on the other side and like hanging out too?
Yeah, they love, I feel like they love this, like they're like so excited about it. And I feel like, of course, like our loved ones are, you know, gonna kind of team up together in the spirit world when we're doing this work. And you know, and that kind of speaks to some of the, even like coming back to the spirit talker, for those who don't know, when people we talk about the spirit talker, we're actually talking about an app that you can download for your phone. It costs a couple bucks, but it's probably one of the best apps that I've ever used in dealing with the paranormal. I feel like you said, it time and time again, every time I've used it, we've gotten really specific, intelligent responses. And it's not just like, oh, that's happenstance. It's like it's using verbiage that like you wouldn't normally see. And I always think specifically back to the investigation at the witch's cabin, Jade, when your granddad came through, one of the most like biggest from like I remember watching that and just like I was like crying because I was like, oh my gosh. And the way it said, you know, it didn't just say grandpa, it said it exactly as you would call him, right?
Granddad, yeah.
Granddad, yeah.
Yeah,
And
that
that's a
was
very UK thing.
Well, the app is a UK app as
Oh, is
well. So
it?
the creator of the app is from the UK. So that's why you might get more of these kind of like British words coming through. But that was the first time that I'd ever heard made any sort of communication with my granddad. And I've always been one of them people that are like, I don't know. I've always been one of them people that haven't tried to actively connect with him. And the first person that ever gave me that validation was you. I had been to other mediums, like paid mediums, before I was in, like doing the paranormal and all this stuff. And like I was just never getting my answers. And I always had this one question. And it was like a secret question that, I would say to my granddad, okay, I'll know that this is you if you talk about this. And one day, I'm sidetracking here a little bit, but I do want people to know like this because it blew my mind. Like, this is the first time that I ever really came in contact with a true medium. Because as we know, a lot of people do call themselves mediums. Like, I don't think that that's, like who may have some sort of abilities, like, but they can't properly connect like other mediums can to loved ones. And when you brought up the letter, I was like, oh my gosh. And we're just sitting in my kitchen having a cup of coffee in the morning and the morning after investigation. And you're like, there's someone here for you. You didn't even know me at this point, Sam. Like,
I
I
really
was
didn't know
like,
you.
Sam didn't even
But
know
you were
me.
letting me sleep in your house though, so
Well,
I was like,
okay.
this chick's cool.
You came a really long way. But yeah, and then I was like sobbing, and you were like, just let me know if you want me to stop. And I was like, no, keep going. Because like everything you were saying was just so on point, and then you brought up the letter, and I was like, oh my gosh. I went, yeah, that's what we talked about. That was like the secret, the letter. It was the letter, and it was just crazy. So that was the first time that I heard from him since he passed when I was 11 years old, and he was like my dad to me. Like, it was my nana and granddad that brought me up. I lived with them, and it was just us three for the most part. And so yeah, when I was at the witch's cabin and we're doing the Ouija board, and then something falls over in the kitchen. I don't even know what it was. There was a huge bang from the kitchen. We could see the kitchen and we couldn't see anything on the floor. And then all of a sudden it said, oh, I'm trying to think now, like trying to remember my own story. It said, oh, Wilson.
Wilson.
Oh my
They were your
gosh.
dog.
That's what it said. First off, it said Wilson. And Jazz from Barrier Beyond was there with me. And she's like, oh, your dog, Wilson. And I was like, well, no, I actually named my dog after my granddad and my nana. Their last name was Wilson. And then I was like, oh, that's the first time that I've ever used the spirit talker as well, by the way. I didn't even know what it was.
Oh,
And
wow.
then all of a sudden, I was like, nah, that's just a random word that's came through. Like, no way is my granddad coming through. And then it said arm.
Do you think that he made
Arm.
the sound for
Arm!
us?
Oh my God! Hold the
What?
camera, take
What?
the
Wait, what?
camera. Film me.
Oh God, oh God. Oh
George
God.
Wilson.
No!
I swear to God.
Are you serious?
Arm. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I showed them, like, there's like my granddad's like birthday, the date he died, and his initials. And I was like, okay, that's got to be something. And then it said, it's granddad's.
What?
And the cat ball is going off like crazy. It says it's granddad.
Look at granddad. And the cat balls were going off as well at the same time. It was wild. It was freaking wild. So, because we were talking about the Spirit Talker app, I put the Spirit Talker app on. But as I was talking about my granddad, Arthur and Seat came through. And to a lot of people, that genuinely, like, does that mean anything to you guys at all?
No,
No.
no.
But where my granddad brought me up in Edinburgh, we lived right by Arthur's Seat. It's a volcano. It's an extinct volcano, and we would go there all the time. It's literally called Arthur's Seat. Two separate words, Arthur and Seat. So, like, this is what I'm saying. It's insane.
Turn that back on. Turn that back on. What are you doing?
Well,
Oh
no,
my
but
God.
I don't want to keep on interrupting the podcast
No,
though,
this
but
is
it's
great.
This is not, we are not, we are not, we are not sponsored by the Spirit Talker, but if you're
What?
listening,
I wish
Spirit
we
Talker, and
were.
you'd like to sponsor us,
Oh my gosh.
d DM us.
I've had conversations with the creator of the Spirit Talker, and you can actually go on to his YouTube channel. It's called Spotted Ghosts. And he breaks down the Spirit Talker and really lays into the debunkers about how this app actually works. So yeah, I think that he's a pretty like genuine person.
That's awesome. I love that so much. That is well, phenomenal. I love that that just came through.
Yeah, if you look it up, it's a huge thing. It's a place where. Anyway, sorry, I'm just like, that was cool. That was
There
cool.
you go. There you have it.
Exhibit A,
Yeah.
exhibit A. Well, that kind of brings me to the last two investigations that we've done together. With the first, first was my opportunity to work with both you and Mandy on the Queen Mary, and what a freaking experience that was.
Right.
So, and then of course this last investigation, which, as of the time of recording this episode, Jade is currently in the throes of the editing process, which we all know is very labor intensive and exhaustive. But sort of looking at those last two investigations, do you guys have any moments in particular that sort of stick out to you or that really kind of threw you for a loop, right? Because I feel like we do end up kind of in these sort of questioning spirals when we're on these investigations. So is there anything that comes to mind immediately or when it comes to either the Queen Mary or the Witch's Tower?
Did you want to start with the Queen Mary? Because you love the Queen Mary. I have a love-hate relationship with the Queen Mary.
Yeah, the Queen Mary. I mean, I guess in regards to us all investigating together, I would have to say just the double Estes at both locations, honestly. Like, I feel like that was very like profound for me because I'd never participated in a double Estes before. And to have, you and I, two mediums, opened up doing it and to see that we were literally saying the same things or similar things, like just goes to show that we're both like truly interacting with the same spirit. At some points we were talking to each other. So that was something that I had never experienced before that I thought was just so profound. And I would love to see, I would be curious to see other people do it to see if they get the same type of,
Results.
results. Yeah, thank you. The same type of results as we did, because that was so crazy.
Yeah. And you do like, I mean, we can't even just do it us two. Like you need like a third person to like mediate and like respond, like let to catch you up basically on what was coming through. Because
Yeah.
when you're doing like an Estes method, you're like, you're gone. You can come out with those things and be like, I can't remember anything I said. So I'm turning this Spirit Talker app off
Okay.
by the way, because it's giving me anxiety. Like I'm not trying to investigate right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the double S's method for sure.
I just thought that was so cool.
And then, of course, like actually connecting with Helena, and you know, you're saying I'm old, and then Samantha saying I'm 100, and basically, you guys were working together to connect with the spirit Helena, who nobody's ever heard of before. And she gave us just enough information for me to go back and research it and figure out who Helena is. And that was just really, really cool that we could put like a face to the name and a life story and just all these other things. Again, like you're just going to have to watch the episode to really know that full entire story and how mind-blown and bizarre it was. But yeah, that was definitely cool, because those investigations are kind of like, I don't know, I feel like I kind of hit gold when there's a spirit that gives you enough information for you to dig up their past and be like,
tell
that's
a story.
Who we're talking to.
When you can have that story, you can show that, because that's really what this is about, right? Because every, you know, when we're connecting with human spirits specifically, you know, getting their messages across, telling their story, kind of bringing them or painting them back to life. And I know in mediumship, that's what I really strive to do when I have a communicator who steps forward, is to paint them back to life again for their loved one in a way that they can recognize and feel that connection to them again, right? You're kind of back in that moment in time with them. And I think that that's really like the heart and soul of what we do when we're trying to bring forward evidence of an afterlife. You know, and I think in tandem, we do end up interacting with other things that are more or less of, you know, the other, maybe the other dimensions, if you will, or, you know, like these other sort of energies that exist as well. But it's really, really a beautiful thing when you're able to kind of piece together that story again for someone. And I think it's really cool that is something that we were privy to. I know that the Queen Mary was... It was funny too, because I feel like at the time we weren't really sure what the hell was going on that investigation. There was a lot of questions and frustration, and like, especially with just the circumstances around there being so many people on the ship and all of that. And so I remember walking away from that investigation and we were kind of like, what is this going to turn into? What is this going to look like? Right.
Yeah, totally. Like, I mean, like it was a shame that we got interrupted so many times.
Yeah.
That was really frustrating. And then I was just a Grinch on the investigation. I had some heart issues going on and other things. I'm not going to make up too many excuses. Like, you know, sometimes we were just having a bad day. Okay. So that was kind of like, I was like, how am I going to end this? Like, cause I was just mentally exhausted, but like, I mean, the ship itself is so haunted, you know, but unfortunately my opinion anyway is, you know, a lot of the staff as well, as it just being such a popular ship. We were on another podcast and they were going to the Queen Mary and invited us. And they were saying like, you're not even allowed to film on the ship. So it's kind of just like, well, if we can't film, then that could be another day that we can actually go somewhere else and film for, you know, YouTube. And
yeah.
So, you know, that's why they're so like, the staff are so like weird when we've got our cameras out and stuff. I didn't even know that that was like an actual rule.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
They didn't tell us. So
no, they just, I feel like it's, I don't know.
Passive aggressive much?
Very passive aggressive. Yeah. That's how I feel with them. And yeah. But as for the other investigation that we done, our more recent investigation, I mean, Mandy knows, like, I've had an absolute blast editing this. And, you know, sometimes when I'm editing, I'm like, oh, like, she'll be getting voice messages like, oh, I'm just so tired, and you get and all this stuff. But with this one, it's been really fun. Like, I just love that it was like an open area and we were We did not know what to do with ourselves when we first got there. And like, we were watching it back today, and I was like, look at us all. Like, what are we
We're all
doing?
just like
We're on
walking
an
around,
open,
like exploring the park. Like,
like looking over
what's
our
over
shoulders,
here?
and everyone's just sketched out. Like,
Yeah.
and I just love it because I'm like, that's gonna resonate like to everybody else watching, and they're gonna feel how freaked out we were there. And then again, man, like, yeah, like the Delestis methods, you guys have been killing it when you do it together. Half sheep, that Tony came through during the double S's method. I'm like, who's Tony? And it comes up, half sheep.
So creepy. So creepy.
Oh man, I am just, it was.
Beside yourself. Well, I think the other good thing about the Witch's Tower, and I think that this is this is kind of like almost like a complete 180 from the Queen Mary, if you think about it, right? Because if you look at the Witch's Tower here in San Diego, it's a historical landmark. There is like I think I maybe seen like one other YouTuber who's investigated there, like, and put it on YouTube. It hasn't been heavily, it's not a place that's heavily investigated by paranormal investigators, versus the Queen Mary, which is a place that is notorious. It's like a mecca for paranormal investigators. So you have you have these two locations that we've been to very close together where one has just been bombarded with energy and investigators and this and that and the other. And then you have this other location that's kind of untouched, really. I mean, and there's been some really horrific stuff that's happened there, with regards to the history of the Witch's Tower. But I think it really does beg to kind of bring the question of what happens when you go to a virgin location or a location that is kind of virgin to investigative work. What kind of information comes through?
I also feel like with Helena coming through on the Queen Mary, though, a lot of people go to like B room B340, and because it's the most haunted room. And we went a complete opposite direction. We took the first class room, and turns out Helena traveled in first class. We found the records of her traveling in first class. So, rooms specific, like, you guys know this, but like, I can't stress this enough, is ghosts travel, they're everywhere.
They're everywhere. You don't
It's
need to go
not
anywhere to
specific
communicate.
spot.
Exactly.
But what I have found out is the ones that are less investigated actually tend to be more active. And it's always kind of been like that for me. And then you were investigating, you done like a the Glen Tavern Inn. What was.
Oh yeah, the Glen Tavern Inn. We did we were doing a paranormal event, and of course we had all the big haunted rooms there. We had the Houdini room and then 307 where, the guy was shot and the prostitute murdered, all that stuff. And they put me in 301 or 302, which was like the non-haunted room. And it ended up being the most haunted and most active room both weekends. Like hands down, everybody said that that was the room that they had activity in, which just goes to show like it doesn't really doesn't matter, spirits will find you. But it was the least haunted room that was the most active.
But isn't that funny though? It's like, and that room's probably a lot cheaper than all the other ones as well. Like, I don't know. It's, yeah. I
I
actually kind of
mean,
prefer like the less known places. For YouTube purposes, it's good to throw in a big name every now and then just
For
to make sure
sure.
people are still watching. But
Yeah.
yeah, but no, it's the I love just exploring, and I wish that there were more just like abandoned locations or just places around here that we could go to that isn't an absolute fortune, because that's California, they don't have many haunted places. So the only haunted places, I mean, Whaley House in San Diego, we've talked about
Oh,
that
they're
before.
expensive.
It's
So
extortionate.
expensive.
So, yeah. And then you could go to the Witch's Tower. Yeah, there you go. You don't even need to.
I mean, there are plenty of places here in San Diego that are open and free, and it's just there's a lot of history here. So I always tell people, you know, if you want to investigate, you don't have to spend a fortune, because it's really just pretty much anywhere you go, as long as you don't get interference from a lot of people. And
yeah,
you know, we do have our fair share of places out here that are free that I wish more people would investigate. Particularly, they are centered around Old Town. There's a lot of places around there as well. But ultimately, I think, you know, with the Witch's Tower, I feel almost like with a lot of investigative work, and I don't know if you guys find this too, but like, I feel like every time I've investigated a place, I feel there's often like the day after. We can speak to kind of like what happened on the day after. I don't know how we recorded some things on the day after, and I don't know if you're going to be releasing that in some way capacity, particularly.
Yeah. I'm going to put it as like a members only.
Members only.
Yeah, because right now we're at like a good, like, I think the episode's at like 53 minutes, which is like good enough. Hello.
Did you see that? The camera anomaly. It just like went totally blurry.
It's really fine.
It's fine.
I think fine.
But yeah, I'm gonna release the like Us at Your House, Sam. The morning after, even though
that was crazy.
Yeah, that was weird. I mean, those moments they're too strange. And back on the topic of apps, we've been experimenting with the Seer app. And we had that run-in in the room that you're sitting in right now, Sam. And remember when it's like a AI so instead of words coming through, for anybody who hasn't dabbled with the Seer app, instead of words coming through like an Ovilus or the Spirit Talker app, it's actually like AI generated pictures form. And so spirits can choose what pictures or images they want to show you. And when we were in that room, a picture, clear as day, it was like a picture of your dad showed up on the Seer app, and it was in a frame, and he's on the right hand side, and he's turned to the side a little bit, and it's him.
Yeah.
It's 100% him. And you just turn right behind you, like the picture was right behind you, and you take the picture off the shelf and you're like, that's this picture, right? That was weird. Like, those kind of things, they do need to be shown. And
right,
because yeah, the apps are getting a lot of hate, and I don't like it. I'm gonna stand up for my apps.
Yeah. And I was trying to tell the story when I was there, just to like prove the case of the Seer app, because everybody's like, oh, it's listening to what you're talking about, it's making pictures based off of that. But my friend April, when she had left her phone at home, completely forgot it, she went to her ranch, and when she was at the ranch, she had this weird encounter with an owl. Like, it like flew in front of her. It was just strange, because it's Hawaii, right? And it wasn't until she got home and went about her day, and she was in the afternoon, she decided to turn on the Seer app, and the first picture that popped up was a picture of an owl. And she didn't have her phone with her. She didn't talk about it. There's no way that the phone would have known about that interaction unless a spirit was there and a spirit manipulated the Seer app to put a picture of the owl. So it just goes to show that, like, I don't know. I just think that that's like just further proof that these things are real and they can truly be used by spirit in that capacity.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. And I think because we always talk about like, oh, they're able to manipulate electricity, they're able to manipulate all these other things, why wouldn't they be able to manipulate our technology that we have, and why wouldn't they utilize it? So I'm 100% with you on that. Plus, I also think it does make investigative work more accessible to people who maybe can't afford fancy equipment like a spirit box or, you know, a REM pod. You know, it gives people a little bit of credible apps will give people an ability to kind of have their own experiences and to try things out via trial and error. And I think that that's also really important, because accessibility, you know, in these things is, I think, important, because everyone deserves the opportunity to explore, you know, the paranormal or the spirit world if they want to.
Yeah.
Like, we shouldn't make it so inaccessible. So I'm really happy to see some of these apps that are coming out that really are giving potential for intelligent communication that feels and I truly believe is authentic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I done the Poltergeist Ranch episodes right before Mandy joined the team. And the owner of that ranch was having a lot of, obviously, poltergeist activity. That's why it's called Poltergeist Ranch. But there by her horses, where she keeps her horses, the faucet kept on turning on the hose. And it was just like flooding out the back, and it would happen like a lot at night. Ever since investigated there, like it hasn't happened since, because we got a name and like a little bit of background. But now she uses the Spirit Talker app, and she goes down there all the time and just sits and turns it on and just like has conversations with the spirit. And it's really been an amazing, you know, outlet for the both of them, for her and the spirit. And there's been no further activity. It's just really cool. Like, I love that just you can just, you don't have to be a paranormal investigator to use it.
And I think it speaks more to this idea of like how things like are interpreted by people, right? Through the lens of their beliefs, through the lens of their conditioning. So often you have people who, you know, have these experiences with really benevolent energy, but it's being perceived as like, oh, it's scary, and it's like they're mean, but really they're just wanting some attention. Like they just want to make their presence known and to be acknowledged. And if you can give them that, it discharges the energy to the point where that activity doesn't have to happen anymore, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. So to kind of come in round and wrap it up, I just want to kind of say, if you guys had any, either, you know, both of you or, you know, individually, if you had something that you wanted the world to know about what you do and what your experiences are, like if you could tell the world like one thing with regards to the paranormal or to the spirit world, what would that be? What do you wish people would know?
I think that it's important to remember that we're not always right 100%. This is all trial and error, making mistakes, learning from mistakes, and also learning from other people, you know? Because we don't know what's out there. I don't think we're ever gonna know what's out there. But the main thing is that you're having your experiences.
Yes.
So I think that that's pretty much, you know, that's the biggest thing is don't, if you did want to be a paranormal investigator, definitely don't go in there closed-minded, thinking that you're going to be the best paranormal investigator, because spirit chooses whoever it wants, you know? And I can tell you this right now, there have been episodes that have amazing evidence, like things flying. And that might not get as many views. So definitely don't do it for the views or money either, because then there's other episodes that really nothing really much happens, and they're the ones that go viral. So it's like, you know, you can never tell.
No, that is honestly what I was going to say.
Yeah, right.
I swear, you start talking, I was like, of course she says what I want to say. But yeah, I was just going to basically say, like, at the end of the day, like, and even, you know, even folks like us where we have that little extra boost, you know, connection to the other side, even then I can never definitively say that I know something for fact. You know, I can assume, I can feel, but at the end of the day, we truly don't know. It's all speculation. Even as a medium, you know, who has conversations with the other side, like, I don't know. So I just feel like you can't go into it thinking that you know everything or thinking that you're going to know everything. I think that the minute that you do feel like you know everything, that then you should stop because that means that you've hit a wall and you're not allowing yourself to grow or learn. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is I think we're all like that. We're all very open to, I'm very open to my ideas, my perceptions completely changing. You know, I love to be challenged, and So I think that's so important, is just to remember that nothing is definitive and nothing ever will be definitive.
Yeah, there's never ever going to be an end to this. Never. So have fun. Make sure that you actually enjoy this. That's the advice that I would give, is somebody wanted to do something along the lines of like investigating or doing it for YouTube or anything like that. Well, actually, if you're going to do it for YouTube, my biggest piece of advice is just don't fake things, because it makes us look really, really bad when activity does happen and then we get questions and stuff like that. Thankfully, that really hasn't happened. Like, I'm talking like it happens all the time and it doesn't, but it's like, what I do worry about is, what if one day we really do capture like the apparition, like that what we're talking about in the very beginning of this podcast? What if we have that moment again and we put that out there, and exactly bringing it all back is what you were saying, Samantha. It doesn't matter how much proof you really put out there, because somebody's always going to say something or not believe or whatever, you know? So as long as you love what you do and you're having fun with it, that's the main thing. And have your own personal experiences. That's the best part about this, is we all have our own personal experiences.
And being like Mandy said, I love, like, I could not agree with your sentiment even more, Mandy, because I 100% say that all the time. I do not have the answers. I will give you the most honest answer, which is I don't know, and nobody does. And anyone who tells you that they do for certain is someone that I always just kind of give a side eye to, because at the end of the day, we can only speak to the experiences that each of us has individually. And that's why I got into the paranormal. I started out as an evidential medium and I would watch paranormal shows. I love them, but I was always like, ah, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. They're bullshitting. It's, you know, and then I was finally like, you know what? Like, I need to go and have these experiences myself, because, and that, and now I love it. It's just like, I can't get enough of it, because it's so validating a lot of the time. Because even though, yeah, I'm not getting answers, I'm getting additional information. I'm getting additional evidence and experiences that are going to help me solidify where I'm at and what I think is happening, right? I can make more sort of educated or draw more educated conclusions. And it's the Dunning-Kruger effect. The minute you think you know everything is the minute that you realize you're going to come tumbling down. You know, so yeah, I mean, I absolutely could not agree with your sentiments even, you know, anymore. And I think it's just wonderful. And I'm so blessed and honored to have you guys here and to be connected with the two of you. And hopefully we'll get to do some more collaborative work in the future, because you guys are just an absolute delight to work with. So I'm really happy to have this connection.
Thank
And
you.
so where can everybody find each of you? You want to tell everybody your socials if they would like to connect with you.
Yeah, I pretty much just wrap everything in it just Ghost Club, to be honest. So just Ghost Club Paranormal on YouTube, Instagram. That's pretty much it. And for you?
At Miss Mandy Sue and over on Ghost Club Paranormal.
Yeah, we pretty much just post the same thing, so
Right.
but I mean, our stories are different.
Yes.
Well, thank you ladies for being here. I really appreciate you sharing your time with me, and I look forward to the next time that we get to connect in whatever way that is. So, until next time, everybody, stay real, stay grounded, and stay spooky.
Nailed it.
Life's better with spooky friends.
Oh,
Brilliant.
What is that though?
that's not a fly. No, it's like a purple
No.
streak. It's a purple streak.
Oh, now I've tried recording, it probably won't do it again.
I just,
No,
no, it caught it.
it
It
caught it
caught it.
once, but that happened like three times.
What was that? Making sure it's not
Stop.
me doing
Dude,
it.
what? No, like it went like this.
It went.
It went.
Yeah, it reminded me of the purple back there. It was just a purple streak.
Oh,
Yeah,
was
it
it
just
in
went.
your phone? Were you holding your phone?
No, her phone's right there.
No, but were you holding your phone
No,
originally?
when it did it again, she had it sitting there. Yeah, it wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, at
Know what
first
that
I thought it
is.
was a
Damn it.
fly, but then it was taking the same
It
like
was a purple
flight.
streak.
I've had weird
Okay.
light anomalies in here
Well,
too.
do any of your pupils, are any of them purple? Because for me, I have purple on my spirit team.
I don't. Not that I associate with anyone on my spirit team, so. My spirit team's pretty bland, if I'm going to be real honest. They're kind of bland.
But... Dude, I'm over here. I got some fucking wild characters on mine.
I'm like, if we're going to be totally honest, like, George is, like, my leader, so.
Yeah.